Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. This is episode 269. I'm Graham.
And I'm Andrew.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Graham.
How are you holding up?
I mean, I've had there are worse problems to have than too many video games to play, but I mean, I'm doing okay otherwise.
Yeah, there are definitely too many video games to play.
Way too many. Yeah.
But the good news. Is mm-hmm. that it's over, basically.
I mean, I'm still playing those games, but yeah, we won't be getting any major releases outside of a couple of small things for the rest of the year.
There are a couple of things I am looking forward to, but at least I think we start to catch up now.
Yeah.
And we're good until, what, April?
I'd say March is the first.
Yes. People have to drop it before the end of the fiscal year. We'll get some Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. And, like, the day before the end of March.
But basically December and January and probably most of February were like basically nothing. So
yep.
Got lots to catch up on.
There are some games that released in the last week or two that really would have benefited from instead releasing in January or February when nothing is happening.
Yeah, I can name a few.
Yeah. I actually was at the midnight release this last Friday because I don't know. I like the idea of going to midnight releases, but I was talking with the people there like, man, what mm-hmm. can we talk about that 22nd release? Cause there's the Xbox One, right?
Yeah.
And then all of the launch games for the Xbox One, that makes sense. That makes sense for those also to be coming out on that day.
Yeah.
And then Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah.
And then Zelda.
Yep.
And as ridiculous as that is, and as ridiculous as it is for Nintendo to like pile those two things on the same day and the same day as launch, mm-hmm. like that's all weird. And it's also weird that they're a Friday release because that's not normal. It just happens to be the same day as the Xbox One release.
Yeah, they usually do Sunday for that stuff.
So then there was Tearaway.
And there's Tearaway, yeah. In Tearaway's in Sony's defense, and I guess Tearaway's defense, even though it's a video game, it has no choice in the matter.
Are you saying it's not sentient?
Yeah, it is definitely not. Well,
we'll get to that. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about its level of self-control.
But that game was delayed way before Nintendo announced their release dates and Microsoft announced, you know, their Xbox One release date. But at the same At the same time,
it was delayed the first time before then, but it was like what? It was like November 10th for like a while.
It was October 22nd,
right?
And then they just pushed it like exactly 1 month to
November. Well, they pushed it the first time, but then they pushed it a second time because if you look at all the like in-store displays and things, you'll see it say like whatever it is, like November 10th or 12th or whatever day it was going to be.
Well, then that just makes no sense. I take back everything I said.
I mean, it's probably one of those things where this is the last date before the holiday rush.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, Nintendo hasn't shied away from like releasing a game on like the first week of December.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, you know, they could have released, for example, the Mario Party they just kind of let out.
Yeah, that was the next thing. Yeah. So
I
would have even kind of given it a try, but now I'll take another look in February when we get there, and then I don't know if that'll still be on our radar. Yeah. The funniest release, I think, though I guess it's logical because whatever, it's concurrent with its release on other platforms, but I didn't know this game even existed, and I was just talking to the people there. Did you know there's an Xbox 360 version of Zoo Tycoon?
I did. I found out. Basically,
well,
when
it has to be
came
better
out
than the Kinect version.
Well, it uses Kinect, I think, on the 360 as well. But
I forgot the 360 had a Kinect.
That totally exists.
Yeah,
I was sitting there, I was like, know, man, I barely heard the stuff about the Xbox One version. There's a 360.
Anyway. I haven't played it, but I've seen some of that
game. I want to see reviews of the 360 version of Zootopia.
Yeah, I'd like to see if that's a good version. But like the Xbox One version in particular.
Seems interesting. Yeah.
It seems like it's a pretty good game. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's if you're looking for something that doesn't involve shooting people in the head or stabbing zombies, you know.
You don't have many choices in either of these launches.
Yeah, exactly. And we're driving cars, I guess. And, you know, Zoo Tycoon might be your thing. And it seems like, you know, it maybe uses the Kinect voice commands okay.
It definitely does use them.
Yeah, it uses them.
So that's... Anyway, we'll get to more about that later, but man, games. Jeff is joining us this episode. Jeff, you've been playing some of those games, right?
Yep, mostly the PS4 set of games.
Yeah, cool. We'll get to that later, but Henry is joining us. Henry, what of those games have you been playing?
I've been playing through, I got Papers, Please and Gone Home taken care of in one day. And then I've been moving on to Tales of Exilia, been playing Dungeon Defenders with the girlfriend. It's been busy. I haven't been able to get to the new consoles yet. The 3DS is just screaming at me to get it. And I know I've been saying that for about a year.
I think it woke me up
this morning and said, buy me.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say, and I guess we'll get to this as we wrap up our end of the year things, but I think it's safe to say that this has been both the best year the 3DS has seen, and the 3DS has had the best year a console has had this year.
Yes. I mean, hey, I bought a 3DS this year.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with it.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Dude doesn't even like handhelds.
Apparently I hate them, but yeah, I bought one.
There's it's crazy with the amount of games we're talking about. I know like movies, like big blockbuster movies, sort of schedule themselves around each other. So like Star Wars is like, we're gonna come out in December, and like Hunger Games, like we're gonna avoid the summer rush, come out in November. Games don't do that, it seems like. They're just like, everything in November. Everything.
A lot of games tend to schedule around each other, but they only go like a week.
Yeah.
Before or after.
Which I guess isn't that long a time for
it gets too crowded in November. You know, like it gets scheduled around other days.
I mean, other than the whole, hey, let's avoid releasing the week Call of Duty comes out. There's really not much of that in November. So unfortunately, that
November
means,
rain of games. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It's, part of that is because they're pushing, like they don't have the lead time that movies do. They don't, video game companies don't seem to schedule as well as the film industry does. And they're usually still working on their game up until the release.
Right. Yeah.
So, and they have to release before Black Friday in the US. So
yeah,
that's why they shove everything in the first 2 weeks of November.
I think that the North American game market could do a much better job of it, you know, looking at the film industry and seeing that people like spending money on entertainment other times.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like,
that's right. We don't come out of hibernation to just buy everything at one point in the year.
Yeah.
It's also like games sell better in November, so we need to release them all in November. So everyone releases them in November, and they sell better in November because all the games that sell well release then.
Yeah.
And
great.
Talking to like, other people, like how many people still count on holiday gift giving as their primary source of getting new games?
Nintendo, like its entire market cap.
Yeah, but okay. Well, mature rated games.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I think there is definitely a lot to be said for that. But you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not about to pretend to be some sort of market analyst. This is not the Going Factor episode of the podcast.
We'll have that episode in January.
We will. Let's go ahead and write that down. Let's go pack.
Okay.
Because that's a lot of fun to pretend to know what you're talking about, because it's just as good as anyone else, because no one has any idea. But yeah, I just do think like if games came out around 3-day weekends, kind of like movies do, like, oh, I want to see something on Memorial Day or July 4th. Like, yeah, if you release like a game before the July 4th weekend, that sounds great too.
Don't they have a rule in Japan where they're not allowed releasing a new Dragon Quest game unless it's on a weekend or something like that because too many people would skip work?
I believe there was some sort of...
Something where, like, was that an urban legend or something like that?
I
not a bad
think
idea.
It's a law, but I do think there was a lot of, like, strife there
encouraged.
So that the companies have agreed to not do that.
Right.
I mean, I think publishers have gotten better about releasing some stuff in the summer. Like, I think we've seen some pretty good August and June releases. July is usually, like, dead
Last
most
of, us,
of the time.
Last of Us was over the summer.
Yeah, The Last of Us was June, and that game's probably one of the best-selling games of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Sony generally has that, I'll say, week before E3 slot. You know, kind of how Rockstar locks down, like, mid-May.
Yeah. The week before E3 slot is funny because, like, traditionally that's been where you put the game that you want to be ignored by the press. But Sony tends to put their best games there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those... There is a certain degree of releasing a game right before then, so everybody's thinking about games. So that, you know, you can advertise it on big game sites and everybody sees your big ad for their game they can buy now. And it's also, you know, there's always this backlash where everybody's like, well, I'm playing all these new games and I'm tired, but man, I just want to go home and play. Da, 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 da. And that's like the PR move. Like, I just want to go home and play Infamous. Like, that was their thing, you know?
Yeah.
So... And then, of course, like, usually there's, like, a new Sims expansion or Sims something. Like, that EA just decides, like, hey, we don't need you, so we're just going to release a game now.
Yeah.
That usually happens about then. But, yeah, I don't know.
Hopefully
it'll move more. But I know now, like, it's one of those things where, I mean, it gives some spots for indies. At least there's that.
Oh, yeah. There are always indie games coming out. Like, I think we will probably see some pretty decent... indie titles released like early next year, but
yeah, hope so.
That's where Summer of Arcade started, actually, was because
like that was all like July and
summer
August. Yeah, that was great for a while.
Yep. That's a whole another story. You know what, let's go ahead and jump into our main discussion for the episode. So This episode's a little special because we have way too much to talk about. So instead of doing our normal segments, we have split the things up into two categories. Things that are the Xbox One or the PS4, and then things that are not.
Woo! Woo!
That works.
Yeah.
I like both.
Because, yeah, there's actually enough to talk about in both categories. So
let's go ahead and dig into the things that are not on the recently released consoles.
These are quote-unquote last-gen.
Well, yeah. or not. Or,
I mean, I guess it depends on how you feel about where the Wii U falls in that.
You know, the Vita's in there. And
Vita's in there.
You know.
Yeah.
3DS.
Yeah. A game for the Vita.
There's a game on the Vita, you guys.
There's a game
on the
Vita.
Port of an indie game that was already on other systems that looks great, but really doesn't make anyone excited to buy the system. Man.
Should we just talk about that?
Let's talk about that.
Tearaway.
Tearaway is pretty good.
Tearaway is really cool. You know what? I sat down and started playing Tearaway Friday night.
Yeah.
I stopped because, you know, sleep. But then I picked it right back up on Saturday, and I basically finished it.
So you want to talk about what Tearaway is?
It's a weird game, but it's also, like, adorable and charming.
Yeah.
It's basically like Media Molecule's showcase for the Vita itself.
And showcase for Media Molecule.
Yes, showcase for Media Molecule. Probably
it's,
even more
it's
so.
It's
the
Media Molecule-iest Media Molecule game.
Yeah, like Little Big Planet had some of that, but that stuff was all about, hey, you guys create the content with Tearaway. It's like, okay, let us try something.
So if you like the sort of aesthetic and whimsy of Little Big Planet's campaigns.
Yeah.
Then a lot of that is in place here,
mm-hmm.
which I don't mind so much. You know, especially I think there was this sort of dissonance with Little Big Planet where it's just like, here's the stuff, but really it's up to you. Like, no. You need to control this. And like the way they've handled Tearaway is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of I sort of knew going into this game what to expect, but I guess maybe I wasn't fully prepared when I started, and then all of a sudden my face was on the screen and I was the sun.
Okay, so if you didn't know that, how much information did you have about Tearaway?
I knew that Media Molecule was making it. It looked really nice and it used a lot of the Vita's functionalities. Beyond that, I kind of was in the dark. I was kind of like, I just want a game to play on the Vita.
If you're in the dark, then it won't show up.
Yeah, that's true.
There won't be enough light to see you.
The sun will be very, very bleak. It'll be sad. But no, I was just kind of like, I mostly bought it because
it's really good. And you like
it's games? Really good. Well, it's also because I wanted something to play on the Vita, because besides a port of Dead or Alive 5 and Soul Sacrifice, there really hasn't been a lot of kind of new Vita stuff that, you know, I can't just play on PS3, for example.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so I mean, so Tearaway, like originally I was like all pumped because this was an October release, and October was not super packed. So I was like, this is going to be a great October game. Nope, November 22nd. But, you know, I decided I wanted to get it anyway because I wanted to support, because I feel like everyone else is going to ignore this game.
Yeah, but so important question. First question to you.
Yes.
Who did you pick as your messenger?
Between the boy and the girl?
Yeah.
I picked the boy.
How do you pronounce his name?
Iota.
It's Iota? Okay. Iota. I thought it was Iota, but they seem to use some interesting accents in that game. And I chose Atwa.
Yeah, that works.
That's how you pronounce the female messenger's name, Atwa.
Atwa.
She seemed to have more personality, frankly, than Iota. Iota's boring.
I just picked the boy because I'm a guy.
But I very specifically like what they do with this game, because you choose like the gender pronoun to refer to you, and then you choose who you want your messenger to be. And I thought that was really well done to separate those. Because there's been like so much complaining about, you know, not having female protagonists in games or having like the female protagonist be like the option that you have to kind of move over to and choose in some sort of, you know.
They handled it very well here.
And they managed to juggle like where each of them appears on the marketing materials and things like that. Like the cover's reversible, and the icon, the little icon on the Vita menu is the guy, but the live area is a big picture of the girl. Mm-hmm. And like they seem to be actually doing that right, which is cool.
I just think
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, but I don't know.
Atwa's got some really cool hair.
I like that name, Atwa.
I know.
That's great.
Which is why I was like, wait, if they're pronouncing it Atwa, then maybe it's not Iota, but Atwa.
But yeah.
You want to start the game over and choose Atwa?
I might go back.
It's pretty good.
You know?
Yeah.
But the
coolest thing about this game is really, I mean, as much as I hate a lot of the things this game does from like a objective bullet point like stance. Like,
what do you mean? Like,
you want social media integration? How about you got to sync with our website, and then you can share things on Twitter? And then, hey, we're just going to use the rear touch all of the time. But the thing is, the way they do it is the exact best way to do all of it.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of the best.
Well, that was unexpected.
Yes.
Yeah, what you just said sounded really lame.
You unlock like Papercraft. You go on to it just syncs with your PSN ID, and you have your own Tearaway.me page, and you can print off your Papercraft.
Yeah, you
and
can make
the things and like sit them on your desk.
No, it's really cool though.
That's awesome. All right.
It's awesome. I mean, if you don't
it's
care
way
about that,
better than like a bloody origami figure.
Yes. Which although you could
Sony's last attempt at folding.
An odd thing to say.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's Sony and origami figure. Figure.
Hey, that kept me busy while the game was installing, so props to them for that.
Also, but this is way less bloody. And well, let's say you can make it. Now, don't do that. Don't make your Tearaway figures have the
blood on them.
Blood on them.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't do that.
All right. So
yes. So Tearaway is pretty great.
Yes, this game is great. I love the art style.
Yeah.
I just like adore it. I think they did do really striking things with just the Papercraft aesthetic. Like, I think, you know, the fact that how the world almost comes alive as you're moving through it.
Yeah. Like that. And like the little things that's what makes this game great. Like when you go over like a little like piece of cardboard that's like on the ground, it gives just a little, you know, just right. Like just enough.
Yeah.
To make it feel like it's an actual thing. I will say this about the game. You have to kind of embrace that it is what it is and that its ambitions are not grand.
Yeah, like, it's kind of a personal game almost. Yeah. Like
Isn't that like 95% of all handhelds?
Well, no, but I feel like it goes in a very, very different direction from a lot of handheld games. Because most handheld games kind of, I'd say they focus on mechanics, right. You know? Like, even going back to, like, you know, Game Boy days. Like, okay, we can't do things that are as big, so we're going to, like, focus on making things precise and making things challenging. And this game is not challenging, and it is not precise. No. That is not what this is about.
It's a platformer where the platforming is very basic. Yeah. You know,
where immersion is the first, like, is, like, paramount. Even though this is a little tiny screen you have in your hand. It somehow pulls it off.
Yeah, I think it does it really well.
That, like, you know, if you want interesting combat, then this is probably
it's really, I think it's just an adorable game. I do have some problems with it. I think the rear touch stuff is the thing I always had the most problems with, specifically which is the first thing you get is the ability to poke through the screen from the bottom screen. That sometimes really worked well, and sometimes, especially when it involved, there are moments where you have to actually move platforms as you're on them using the rear touch stuff, and that stuff can be a little finicky. Like there was one part near the end where you have to shield Iota from this waterfall by moving your finger across it so the water is being blocked as he's moving.
Yeah.
And sometimes it worked, sometimes it just stopped detecting my finger altogether when I was like near the end. I had to start all the way over. So
yeah, like, I haven't beaten the game. I know you know you've gotten there, but near earlier in the game, I won't say in the beginning because it's a couple hours in.
Yeah.
There's this thing where it's kind of, I guess you have to hold up, like you have to kind of like hit both sides of these platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Just to move this like log looking thing up just to run under it.
Yeah, I remember that.
And like it just doesn't detect it much.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is it has to detect both the fingers at the same time, and then you also have to like run under it. And if it didn't detect one of them, then the thing's just going to fall back on you and kill you. And then it might have taken a little bit for me to
figure out. There was a similar moment like that where I probably was completely doing this wrong. Maybe there was an easier way to do it where I had to use my chin to move the character so I could properly use my fingers on the rear touch.
What?
Yeah, it like I couldn't get it to work any other way. Like I had to use specifically my index fingers because for some reason it wasn't detecting any of my other fingers, which is what I use for most of the other puzzles. And then my thumbs, like I had to kind of hold the Vita in a specific way where my thumbs weren't where they needed to be. And it sounds stupid. It sounds like I probably did it wrong, and maybe I did. But
I would love to like see you control a game with your chin,
Andrew.
It was
a
straight line.
I know you're new to this handheld thing. It's okay.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'm just saying I had some problems with the rear touch stuff. But besides that, like, I think there was even tilt stuff near the end of the game. And that, you know, I usually hate that stuff. Works really well here. It's like this is the best showcase for this system.
Yeah.
And it only took them, you know, almost 2 years to get to it.
Candidate to ever be playable on the Vita TV.
Yep, exactly. Unless they, I haven't.
How much would they have to patch this thing?
Well, I mean, they have to patch in the fact they would have to patch in your ability to play the game with the Vita as a controller. But then even then, it would be kind of like, like it just wouldn't work. So this is definitely like,
but
the most,
you know,
Vita game.
Yeah. As much as say Super Mario 3D Land was a justification of the like 3D features of the 3DS, this is a justification of the Vita.
I mean, I'm not going to say go buy a Vita for this game, but if you have a Vita, you have no excuse to not play this game.
Yeah, go buy a Vita, I guess, for like, I don't know, portable Persona 4 or...
Yeah, if you bought it for like one of the two...
Luminous is pretty good on it.
Luminous is really good. Yeah.
So, I don't know. You like Hot Shots? It's got Hot Shots.
The Vita is becoming the PS4 add-on device at this point, so...
Yeah.
There might be a point where everyone will want one or have one for that stuff, but you should probably play Tearaway too. Just at some point along the way.
Definitely. Like, yeah, we can move on.
We can move on. Thumbs up, Tearaway.
Yeah, thumbs. Well, mostly index fingers up.
Okay, yes. Index fingers through the
chin,
screen.
Chin up. One chin up.
Yeah, okay.
Chin up, right. Andrew.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Andrew again. We're going to go to you.
I'm going to be doing a lot of talking this episode.
Yeah, you're our cleanup hitter today.
Yeah.
New Ratchet and Clank.
Ah, man.
Yeah.
You want to talk about another really good game?
No.
That no one's going to play?
Yes.
Let's talk about the new Ratchet and Clank.
Okay.
Man, so
yeah, so this is an interesting project because, you know, the Insomniac's North Carolina studio took over the franchise after
Crack in Time.
Was Quest for Booty before or after Crack in Time?
Before. That was the middle
for the three. Okay. Yeah. So after a Crack in Time. And it's been doing some experimental things. But this is kind of the first actual Ratchet and Clank from that studio. And it, you know, it's interesting because it's not really a new studio per se, because a lot of the creative people moved over with the franchise. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting to see kind of the smaller scale projects that the team was doing,
I think,
applied to the Ratchet and Clank formula.
I think a lot of people were, including myself, were a little skeptical because the last two games they did, All for One and Full Frontal Assaults, I wasn't the biggest fan of either of them. I think Full Frontal Assault. Sorry about that. Has its fans, and I kind of appreciate what they're going for, but I thought that game was kind of boring, and All for One just didn't really work that well.
Yeah.
It had some great co-op moments, but it was kind of a slog to get through. So
now I can definitely vouch for it not being the best game for even co-op when it's focused on co-op. So
yeah. So I mean, like, on one hand, these are completely different from what you would expect from Ratchet and Clank. So it's kind of unfair to say, hey, they probably won't do this actual traditional Ratchet and Clank that well. But on the other hand, those games just, I don't know, they felt like cheap spinoffs that didn't have the polish or shine.
And really, they were cheap spinoffs.
Yeah, they were cheap.
They were a smaller development team reusing assets to make different games.
Exactly. And I think Into the Nexus is kind of has a little of that still. Like, it doesn't feel as polished as the Ratchet and Clank feature games that Insomniac proper made. But man, it's so good to go back to this formula because it's still really, really fun. And this game is it's a budget price game, so it's $30. You can get it on disc or on PSN.
And it comes with Quest for Booty if you haven't played that.
Yes, yet. It comes with a code for Quest for Booty, which is nice. And it's not long, but I think they do enough with like some of the new mechanics.
Yeah.
And some of the new weapons and some of the like just the basic story and stuff like to make it worth that money, I think.
Yeah, also we say it's not that long, but also it's about as long as a lot of like AAA action games.
Yeah, I'd say about 6 hours took me. If I wanted to complete it would have been another couple extra hours beyond that. But
yeah, but it's not like bite-sized.
Yeah,
by any means.
I mean, I guess
it's smaller in scale than like the crazy huge games, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's yeah. It's not. It's not a game that you'll finish in an afternoon. I guess unless you really sit down and play it. But
yeah,
you know, it's definitely got some. Really cool, like there are some the planets you get to explore are generally pretty big. There are only a handful of them, but they're all really, really big, have plenty to explore, have plenty of collectibles. The weapons you get are a lot of rehashes from previous games, just renamed. Like they're similar enough that they could have just called them what the weapons were called in the previous games, but they changed just little things about them that make them different weapons. But the weapons are still great. The combat itself is still really fun, and I think...
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What is your favorite new thing about this game?
I actually really like the Clank sections. I think this is carrying over the tradition from Crack in Time, which had these Clank-specific puzzle sections. But these are like 2D areas where Clank... You control Clank directly, but you also control the gravity. So you can have him standing on the ceiling or on the left side of the wall, the right side of the wall, or the ground, and you use that to guide him through these very tight corridors and kind of avoiding obstacles while also moving like boxes onto platforms to open doors and things like that.
My favorite part about those levels is using gravity to just basically never land ever.
Yeah, that's great.
Like you can totally land, and that's how you're supposed to play it.
But,
I'm told. But man, is it fun to just be like, I'm gonna switch gravity.
Just see how
never
far
gonna land ever.
Yeah, see how far you can get. And I think that especially
sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's especially fun when because after you get to the end of those levels, you have to like awaken. This is weird story stuff, but you basically have to unleash this creature thing, and then it has to chase you back through the level the way you came. But because it's chasing you, you have to move faster. So that's when I usually use the whole let's just see how far I can get without landing thing, and it usually worked out. Sometimes not so much, but it was fun either way.
It's fun. But yeah. So, I mean, you're a big fan of the series.
I love Ratchet Plunk, yeah. So.
So, there are two things I want to talk about before I move on. One, okay. All this talk of how people keep bringing up that this should have been a PS4 title.
I mean, it would have been a solid launch title for the PS4, even if it was just a downloadable thing. You know, I think that would have been cool. Like, obviously it was made as a PS3 title, so it wouldn't look as nice. But
yeah, but I think like specifically, this is reusing the PS3 engine and the PS3 assets, and that's kind of the reason it can exist.
Yeah, I think everyone's just saying that because it came out the week the PS4 came out. Yeah, so it's kind of
and
like,
also
you know,
like it's better than all the PS4 launch games.
Yeah.
Well, that's not hard.
And better than the exclusives, at least, yeah.
But yeah, and then the other thing is, do you think this is the end, at least for now, of Ratchet and Clank? Because, you know, to make another game, it's going to have to...
Yeah.
Unless for some reason they reuse the engine and make it, you know, like, High Moon Studios goes off and makes a Vita game or something, which, you know, that's... To make a PS4 game, they're going to have to make a PS4 engine, and probably that's committing to, you know, a whole nother trilogy... And, you know, I mean, putting all that money into assets. The new movie's coming out, so...
Yes, that's what I was going to say. There's a new movie coming out.
Does that mean we're getting, like, three or four more Ratchet & Clank games? Or does, you know, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I will say that I'm definitely very confident in that the North Carolina team now after this game. They prove that they can make classic Ratchet & Clank and add enough new that kind of continues to, you know... It continues to feel fresh without, you know, kind of just sticking with what was already working. You know, they've proven themselves. So I think since they're the Ratchet and Clank team, I mean, I don't know what else they're going to work on. They're the Ratchet and Clank team. What else have they made besides Ratchet and Clank stuff?
That's all they've made. It was started by the creative leads in Ratchet and Clank Future Games moving and hiring a whole bunch of people. So
I could see them. Like, I think they really love this franchise. I think they it's not just like Sony saying we need more Ratchet and Clank games, because these games aren't, you know, the biggest sellers for Sony, but you know, they do well enough to continue to justify more of them. And I think, you know, Insomniac, I think they really like this property. Like, I think they would have given up on it by now if they didn't, like they did with Resistance, you know? So I have hope.
I just worry that this may be the point where maybe they take a back seat on it, and near the movie we get like a, say High Moon for some reason makes a whole one themselves, mm-hmm. and Insomniac moves on. And I hope not. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, right now,
Insomniac, I actually got to talk to them last month. They had an event around here, and they're being super tight-lipped about what they're working on next. But frankly, I think they exist to be the Ratchet Studio, so that the California studio can do other stuff.
I mean, I'm gonna say yes right now. I think there will at least be one more Ratchet and Clank game in the future. Either maybe I think
Is
it'll
it
probably
future?
Be PS.
Is it in the future?
Ratchet and Clank future.
Oh no! Don't do that.
Uh oh. It'll be Ratchet and Clank past, going back to the basics.
Yeah. Okay.
Wrench only.
Like,
no
pixel
guns.
Art.
Pixel. Yeah. There you go. Now that'll be the Vita game.
Pixel art looks really good on the Vita.
It does.
It's like the best. It does. Especially when they like simulate other looking pixels. It's the best.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So that's pretty good. We can move on. Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. Sure.
Graham, this is, with all respect to Tearaway and Ratchet & Clank Into the Nexus, I am most interested, mm-hmm. out of all the games actually we're going to talk about today,
mm-hmm.
to talk about this one.
Okay.
Tearaway. Wait, no, I mean Super Mario 3D World.
I'm not familiar with that game. Is that anything like Super Mario 3D World?
Super Mario World of 3D, 3D Wii U.
Nope,
I don't think the full title.
No. I think you just started saying words at that point.
Mario's Super 3D Adventure World Land on the Wii.
I'm not familiar with any Mario games.
Graham, have you been playing Super Mario 3D World?
No, but I have been playing this game called Super Mario 3D World.
Oh, we're going to do this again.
We've been doing this for about a minute and a half.
Hey, enjoy your Thanksgiving a month and a half late, by the way.
I'm happy to do that and also agree with the title screen.
Super
for the game and every Mario game.
Mario.
That's right. That's the name of him.
3D World.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm done. I'm not. Guys, this is over.
You guys.
We're kicking
all right,
Henry off the
tell
podcast.
Me about it, Graham. Tell us, because
so
I've heard.
Really good.
I've heard nothing but gushing about this game.
So just you can, I mean, I talked a little about it last episode because I managed to play the first couple worlds. now I have played, say, the rest of the worlds.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of levels I haven't gotten to yet, some weirder stuff, but yeah. So I at this point, what do you guys want to know about the game? Because I'm happy to.
Is it as good as Mario Galaxy?
In what way?
Single player experience.
No.
Okay.
Don't play this game single player. Don't do it.
Don't play it single player.
It's not horrible. It's not to the level of like New Super Mario Brothers U, where it's just like, why are you doing this? Don't play the single player.
Okay.
It's fine. I just would recommend, you know, even if you don't want to play it with four people, play it with somebody else.
Right.
Get somebody else in there.
Not the biggest fan of New Super Mario Brothers co-op. I think it's fun if you're just goofing off, but if you're actually trying to progress through the game, it can be chaotic, even with another person.
Right.
So I played a little of this, and not nearly as much as you have. I think I actually decided to play through this whole thing co-op, and it's, as someone who doesn't like that co-op in New Super Mario Bros., I think actually having it in 3D really helps.
Because the areas are wider.
Yeah.
So the challenge of getting across whatever you need to get is still there, but you kind of have the space in the other dimension to spread out and not get in people's way.
Right.
So that probably helps some. But yeah, there's just so much about like the fun of interacting with people in these environments. You know, the fun of working together, the fun of, you know, taking things down. Yes, it's a lot easier when you do that, and that it's probably, I don't know, Andrew. You think playing this game single player and getting like all of the green stars and all of the stamps, and that seems like quite a challenge.
I mean, I think the one downside of playing the single player is the levels are a lot bigger.
Yeah,
they're made for co-op. They're made for four people. So if you're playing solo, it'll be a lot of, you know, running around somewhat empty levels. But I mean, not completely empty. No, they're still really well designed. They're just like, you know, designed for multiple people. But
it's just a little larger.
These are the kinds of games that make me nervous because, like, it does look really fun. And how about this? If I had access to, let's say, like, you guys, like, if four snack bar editors got together, well, like,
I have a guest room. Just hang out.
Well,
I have a copy.
That's
of
what
the
I
game.
Mean. Like, I would do it in a heartbeat, but I don't, so I'm hesitant to pick it up. That I mean, I don't have a Wii U, but
so yeah. I mean, if you have anybody hanging around, like, you can play a little by yourself. But I mean, I just think there's, you know, to me, 98% of games are mostly suited for playing by yourself. So when there's the 2% of games that are really good with playing with other people, I don't really look for opportunities to play those by myself because there are too many other games to play like that.
Right.
Graham's also just loves co-op.
Also, if you want to play Captain Toad levels, those are single player.
Oh, yeah, those are neat.
We were talking about a game earlier that was, you know, not so great in local co-op. You know, I don't have like a universal love for that. All for One was not very good, and that is actually a.
Oh no, I'm not saying you love all co-op games. I'm just saying you have a fondness for co-op.
I do, but say you look at the things that say that game did, which actually it's a pretty good analog because it's kind of the closest thing, like a fixed camera, you know, four player pseudo, you know, like there's some of those same mechanics, interestingly enough. But yeah, so. Like you can see the things that game did wrong. This game doesn't do any of that stuff wrong. But let's talk about the Captain Toad levels. Have you played
those? Really cool.
Man.
The what levels?
Captain Toad. Remember Captain Toad from
Captain Toad
from Super Mario Galaxy? The little toad with the little like flashlight.
The backpack.
I don't remember Captain Toad.
They had the mushroom ship, and you were constantly rescuing them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He has put in these levels where. I would say he can't jump, but he can jump. There's can totally jump. A jump button, and it works. He just
doesn't go anywhere, really.
I love hitting the button. It's funny. But, man, just those touches on Mario games where the craft.
That reminds me of the Toads in Super Mario RPG, where like the Toad they would just freak out when Mario jumped in front of them.
They were very impressed.
Starstruck.
It's the most amazing thing they've ever seen.
Yeah. But so Captain Toad gets his own levels where he's in these little like tiny like dioramas where you walk around and like ride up and down platforms and like fall off the things. And you have to collect usually 5 green stars. And like you run around this level and like it's basically this is puzzle basically. It's just, you know, and
since you can't jump, it's all about kind of manipulating the camera and finding the right paths to get to all the stars.
And I will say right now, I would absolutely jump at the opportunity to play a full, like, Pushmo style downloadable game with Captain Toad puzzles.
Yeah, or just like DLC for this
game. You heard it here, folks.
But like anything where I would pay money for, like, give me like 30 Captain Toad levels. Like, that's what I want. Because there are like 8 in this game or something. Like, it's not many.
Yeah. Is it just one per world or something?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I like that. Yeah, do that and have the ability to maybe create your own levels, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
there's certainly the space for them to, you know, do DLC for this game with, like, some more Captain Toad levels. I would buy those because Captain Toad's the best. Captain Toad. I wonder if you could, like, what levels you could complete with a Toad that can only jump, like, an inch.
If Nintendo can make those kinds of levels and make it fun somehow.
You can, if you're talking about playing as Captain Toad in the
Super
main levels,
Captain Toad 3D World. That's
just have you just need like
expansion, all levels where you can't jump.
Yeah, you just need co-op where one person can jump and they can just carry you.
Oh man, like,
and then throw you everywhere, you know?
Like special challenge levels where you have to carry on Captain Toad. I'd play this.
Okay,
man. But yeah, so this game is super charming.
Like, I think
the levels as you get further, like, I mean, a lot of, okay, so I'm going to say some stuff that will spoil it in the Nintendo Direct. So if you want to skip ahead a couple minutes, fine. But there are a couple things that are awesome, like the Mario Kart level.
That level is amazing.
Right? Because it's not based on Mario Kart, like, now. It's based on Super Mario Kart with the, like,
a
remix of the original, like, theme and the big, enormous, like, colored blocks around the outside, and you just run the whole time, and, man.
That one was great.
Just the craft for this.
I think the other thing you're going to mention, maybe, is the fifth character.
Yeah, that one I was going to hold off on.
Oh, okay, all right.
But yes, that's super good, too.
Good.
Man.
Good.
I just want...
All right. Well, guys, we probably... Graham, I could listen to you talk about this all day, but we should probably wrap it up because we've got a lot of new games to talk about.
We might be talking about that game next month. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, we can move on.
That's awesome. Thanks, Graham. Let's talk about the new consoles.
New consoles.
Woo!
If we have to.
We should.
There are two of them.
There are.
In fact,
yeah.
One of them is a PlayStation 4. The other is
not a PlayStation 4.
It's not a PlayStation 4. I mean, we can. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you want to even touch on the Xbox because none of us have had first-hand experience. I mean, maybe you have, but I haven't had a chance to check it out.
Haven't played any game for more than like 45 minutes.
Okay, so you have some experience with
it. Yeah.
Good.
I have. They're two very different approaches.
3 hours.
Yeah, there you go. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So they're two very different approaches, I think. As much as they're trying to, you know, match each other feature set for feature set, it's just not how it's going on, you know? Microsoft is continuing its, like, basically, if you don't like the system updates that the 360's been getting, then you probably don't like the direction that the Xbox One is taking. Because it's doubling down on Metro, it's doubling down on curating what it is you see instead of giving you really easy options to get through stuff. It's curating on, like, media services and, you know, TV integration. And that's kind of how that's gone. You know, the PS4 is kind of the Vita.
I'm going to say just real quick, as someone who hasn't actually touched the Xbox One yet, who hasn't, you know, messed around with it, I've seen some of the interface stuff. I think it's a little clunky, but I think it works.
It's not debilitating, and certainly you know it's about the games, but launch games are bad.
I really want to play that new Killer Instinct. I'm not gonna lie, I really want to play that. I'm not even a fighting game guy, but I really want to play that. And Dead Rising 3 looks okay too.
Not the worst things in the world, but like,
They're not for you,
better. more specifically, there will be better games for everyone later in the system's life. How the system works could change, but generally how it works now is how it's going to continue to work.
Probably.
So yes. Looking at that is, I think, more insightful as to how the experience of owning it's going to be, especially it with multi-platform games. Like, you're choosing between the two interfaces to get into games.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, well, okay, I'm playing Assassin's Creed on this thing or whatever.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that's what I was going to mention real quick, that I just think that even though the interface has some problems, there are, like, it seems like if you just want to play games, you know, play the games. That's it. Like, I think that stuff is easy enough to ignore.
The game.
Yeah, really. But no, I think that stuff, I mean, again, no first-hand experience or first voice experience, but I think it seems simple enough to just kind of get to what you want to get to, mostly the games, and just play those. I think I understand if you're, you know, using the device as a multimedia, you know, as a multimedia device, and you don't like that interface, that could be problematic, and you don't want to use the Kinect, you know. But, like, I think when I get an Xbox One, I'm just going to pop in the discs or play the downloads that I have and just go and not even bother with the rest of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's just my thing.
Yeah.
I did really like how Microsoft took the effort to change everything that people hated. So I want to give them a chance. I think it's more even now, but I'm still probably leaning towards PS4.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of interest level. It's going to totally be about exclusive games. I mean, Microsoft has gotten rid of the things that make it objectionable. There were some interesting things about that digital future that some people might have preferred. But what made it different in a level that would make you choose one or the other that's not really there. So it'll be about the games.
And I think, I mean, I guess for me, it came down to the price point, why I decided to get a PS4 first. And I'm mostly getting these systems at launch for third party stuff because my PC can't run them. Basically, so, you know, Assassin's Creed, Battlefield, all that. So,
yeah,
which one was the cheapest? PS4. Okay, there we go. You know, the exclusives. Like, I think the Xbox One. I think the Xbox One has more exclusives, and I think some of them are a little more interesting than the PS4, mostly because the PS4 kind of lost one of its big launch titles. Plus, you know, Watch Dogs isn't there anymore, which I think a lot of people were kind of siding on the PS4 version for that specifically. I mean, either way, you know,
the differences between the two platforms will probably continue. In the previous generation, there were certain things that the 360 got from being more dominant in North America that may not be the case going forward. But, you know, say if you like Japanese games, those are probably not going to usually come to Xbox One.
And if you really
like those kind of AAA shooters, Microsoft generally has a lockdown on network infrastructure and a hold on Xbox Live and things like that. So that's going to still be there.
Yeah, for a lot of that stuff is usually, like with Call of Duty specifically, DLC comes there first. So,
yeah. And it's, you know, following your friends and all that. Yeah. So, you know, until there's this, you know, utopian cross-platform multiplayer future, in which case, totally, you get the Wii U version.
Please, can we get that?
No,
I think both Sony and Microsoft will be out of console development before that ever happens.
Before that happens.
But anyway, so the Xbox One, your limited experience, does it seem solid?
I mean, yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah, games.
So let's talk about some of the new games. Whatever. Let's talk about those. Yeah,
it's your thing.
Okay.
Well, let's go first.
Okay, so Jeff, let's get you in the action because you have been out of talking about crazy, weird Vita and Wii U stuff. Let's talk about NAC. Let's go ahead and get NAC out of the way. What's the deal with NAC?
Yeah, NAC is very much a launch title. No, just like it feels like they just sort of put it out there to show off the hardware a lot, a sort of action-oriented game in there as an option aside from all the shooters and the car games.
Yep, man.
So let's
rate it on the scale, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so where does it fall between Cameo and Red Steel? And let's see what else we want to throw in there. Fantavision. Fantavision's a good one.
Yeah.
What do you think? Pilot Wing 64, maybe? Steel Diver.
You've named You've named five games that I've never played.
Okay. Well,
I'm just going to ask someone who hasn't played it.
Is that sad?
I think this falls closer to Cameo based on my experience of having not played Knack yet.
How is it compared to Air Sea Battle for the ColecoVision?
How's it compared to Wii Sports? That's not really fair, though.
That's not fair.
How does it compare to Rayman?
Super Mario World. How does it
Oh, man. But, so, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Is it at least nice to see and look at? Because here's the thing. I played the demo and stuff, and it looks like, I mean, everybody's saying it looks like a DreamWorks movie, and that's a way of saying it looks like a Pixar movie, but not as good.
But not as good.
But, like, yeah, it does, but... That, to me, that look is really nice, but not like impressive on a launch game level. You know, like I don't think it really wows in the way of like explosions and, you know, like it's kind of the anti Resogun, where it's like,
yeah,
it's showing how awesome it is visually in a way that's really not that obvious to anyone.
Yeah.
Well, I think it shows that like Mark Cerny, the director. Was he's a big hardware guy, because you can tell like the way they built Knack, all of those little pieces, you can tell like it shows off like
it's a lot really of cool tech demo to developers
power.
Yeah,
it shows off a lot of power to someone who develops games.
Yeah,
but to someone who is playing it, you just look like a giant dude that's made out of all these little bits.
Yeah, like the fact that you're made out of little bits really doesn't matter that much.
Is this the first game where the character design was dictated entirely by the fact that it was a launch title and it's showing off tech?
No.
Is it? No?
No.
I mean, like, I feel like what else is there? I feel like Knack's design
Mario.
Could have been entirely different. Yeah, but
Mario's design is like, he has a mustache because otherwise you wouldn't see what a nose is.
Yeah, but I'm talking about launch titles, not like, not
oh,
like.
Oh, right, you're right. Super Mario Brothers was not a launch title.
Yeah. Like I'm talking about like. I feel like Knack could have looked like anything based entirely on when that game came out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of that, like, maybe not specifically based on the character design, but for example, Luigi's Mansion. Its entire justification for existence was how it handled transparency effects better than the GameCube handled transparency effects and fabrics better than the PS2.
Fabrics were pretty nice.
Yeah, but like the whole reason there's a game about ghosts in a vacuum is because it makes fabric move and there are ghosts. So that's why, you know, like that's always the case with launch games, I guess, but. You know, like,
I mean, I think Knack specifically strikes me as weird because I feel like it's a character action game where the character is just, he's not that appealing. Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like, you know, again, I haven't played it, but I feel like just looking at this game, like,
he's like Vector Man.
Yeah, like Vector. Like, Vector.
Hey, we want to show off how good the Genesis can look. So we just made our character have a bunch of pieces. Okay, great.
So,
yeah. It gets kind of weird when Knack is small and he has like this deep voice.
Yeah, I've heard the voice. It's kind of strange.
Like the voice sounds normal for like giant Knack, but when he's little, it just sounds out of character completely.
Okay, so let's say some nice things about Knack. Can we say some nice things about Knack? Okay, let's move on. Well,
it looks really nice. I mean, I don't know.
Ice Knack's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know.
One thing I did like is that it does actually have some difficulty.
Yeah, it seems like it's actually
it's
pretty
difficult.
Tough.
Like, I can vouch for
it's
that.
It's tougher than a lot of character action games. But
I mean, at least one specifically aimed towards younger audiences.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that game does not seem like... The game looks aimed to younger audiences, but does not play aimed to younger audiences.
It's weird.
Like, you are the most fragile, enormous, hulking beast creature. Anyway, of course, I guess that makes sense. You're held together by, like, electricity. So, anyway, let's talk about a better game, which really we have a whole list of them.
We got a lot.
Andrew, let's talk about Resogun.
Man, Resogun is secretly the best launch game for the PS4.
Although it might not be
a secret.
Secretly? Yeah.
You know what the best thing about Resogun is?
What's that?
Every single person with the PS4 can get it for free.
Well, if you have PlayStation Plus, yeah. Although I will
say, but you get you you get a 30-day code with the console.
True. That's right. Okay, so yeah, everyone who buys PS4 gets Razorgun, basically, unless you are too lazy to enter that code and don't already have PlayStation Plus.
Wait, how long is the code?
It's not that long. It's shorter than Xbox codes. Right. Yeah,
Razorgun looks amazing.
It's great. It is the updated version of Defender I never knew I wanted. And it's really cool. I mean, basically, it's like a 2D kind of ship combat arcade-y action game where you shoot a bunch of ships, you get power-ups, and then you have to save these humans, these little green dudes.
And it's got voxels.
Yes, it's voxels.
Yeah, I'm noticing that.
Voxels. Lots of voxels. Lots of voxel explosions.
Nope. Let's be clear. It is not voxels. That's different. Yeah? This game pixels. Has voxels.
Voxels?
Yes.
Voxels?
So the developers, I don't know if you this is super dumb, which is why I bring it up. The developers did not like that the voxels they were using had like sharp edges and didn't necessarily look good when they were like falling or I don't know. So they made a special different version with like rounded edges, and so they call them voxels. So they are not voxels. So they are like voxels with rounded edges. For some reason, that means a B. I don't know.
Now you're playing with voxels, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, sure. Yeah.
Okay. But
I just hope that voxel technology continues to spread.
Yeah. Because
it looks really good.
When Knack 2 comes out, let's make a voxel version of that.
If we see Knack 2, what are we even doing with our lives?
But we haven't seen Cameo 2.
Yeah.
You mean Cameo?
No, I mean Cameo.
What
we did see.
Jeff, this is not a Canadian thing, right? This is just Henry being weird, right?
That's a Henry thing.
Okay. Most Canadians know how to pronounce things.
Traitorous, Jeff.
Okay.
But so Resogun is really cool. I don't know. I mean, there's not much to say about it. It's a really neat showcase for the tech. Yeah, it's a really good game. It's if you have a PlayStation 4, you have no reason not to play it. I mean, again, unless you're too lazy to enter that code. I mean, I don't know.
Long is the code?
It's only 12. 12 characters.
12? You already said this.
It's 12 characters, man.
Yeah, I know. That just seems like a lot. I don't think I want a free.
I really like.
Okay.
I like saving the humans. I'm good at saving the humans.
That's good.
And the game tells you to save the last humans, and it comes through the controller.
Yes.
And it startled me at first because the controller volume was really like the speaker volume on the PS4 controller was really loud. So I dropped my controller at first.
It's important.
But yeah, they want you to know.
Message to you.
Save the last humans.
But yeah, so Resogun's pretty great. Let's keep this going. Hey Jeff.
Hey Jeff.
Hey Graham.
So there's another game that people get to play for free if they have a PS4. And it is it's Contrast. I was about to say
Contrast.
So I was going to make some sort of quality judgment, but that's your job.
I can assist Contrast in the quality judgment because I've also played it, but I'll let Jeff take the lead.
Yeah.
Contrast is sort of the continuation of the trend of PlayStation Network to feature a lot of more design-oriented digital games.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like your Journey and Flower and stuff like that.
And like Papo and Yo and Unfinished Swan. And they've been doing a whole bunch of this. Yeah.
Like, they sort of made it their thing to differ themselves from other services. But I guess you can call it point and click, but it's sort of an adventure game.
Platformy adventure game.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Is it wrong to say that like this? I know it looks cool, but are you telling me they couldn't make this on PS3?
It's actually out on PS3. So yeah, yes.
There you go.
It is.
Well, that shut me up.
I think they just wanted an extra. I think they were working on a PS4 version alongside the PS3 version, and
Drive Club got delayed.
Yes, and Drive Club got delayed. So they're like, here you go, have this instead.
Right.
We need another PlayStation Plus thing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just be blunt here, Jeff? Do you think this is a good game? Because I'm not sure I do.
I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
It's not very good. It's not very well made.
Yeah.
It's reasons. Okay. How about this? Within the first 10 minutes of the game, I was stuck in a wall. And when I say in a wall, I mean literally in a wall, because your character turns into a shadow.
Right.
And you jump on the shadows of things. So there was a point where I had to move the shadow. Like, I had to move the spotlight so the shadows would move to create, like, this platform for me to reach this higher level. And you could kind of change between regular version and shadow version on the fly. So I was, you know, I went to the shadows, jumped, turned into a shadow person, was running up the platforms I made, and then as I was going to change back, the character's legs got stuck in the shadows, so I couldn't change back, and I couldn't move. And this was in the first, like, 10, 15 minutes, so
yeah,
this game is kind of buggy.
Got a real Peter Pan complex here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think stylistically it's really nice, and I think it's, you know, I think it invokes a time period really well. Like, it's kind of got this...
Was the Wii game?
Since it's free, maybe
you
take a look. But are you talking about Lost in Shadow, Henry?
Yeah. That sort of looked like it borrowed some elements from that.
It's like Lost in Shadow, where you cannot be shadows anymore if you want.
Okay.
I don't know. It's worth like Graham said, it's worth checking out. But
I mean, if you have a PS4, then you can play it
free
right now. So
yeah,
you can check it out and then really not worry so much about sticking with it if you get frustrated. Just kind of, you know, check it out.
The frame rate is really bad too. It's so slow and sluggish for, like, I thought this might be, like, if this was the PS3 version, I'd be like, okay, so the PS4 version was their main development platform, but it's like this on PS4 too, and it's kind of just rough around the edges.
Right. Yeah. But hey, you know what, let's move on, let's move on to happier things.
Okay.
And by happier things, I mean the multi-platform lineup for both these consoles.
There are a good number of those.
And generally, I think it's safe to say, at least from what I've seen, not a huge difference between the versions on these things. I mean, if there's been resolution gate, and I don't care about any of that. The games play like the games, you know, so they are what they are.
I mean, certain versions have some type of issues that other versions don't, but I mean, other than that, it's like visually, like,
and usually that'll sort itself out in a couple weeks. So.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter how many P's you have. You still look great.
Yeah.
I only have
at least 240. If you have fewer than 240, you might have some problems.
Yeah, that'd be weird. I don't know how that'd work.
Yeah. You're getting back into 2600 territory.
Yeah.
I only have a 720p TV anyway, so really, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
that's my problem. That's my thing too. My TV only has 720p's.
Oh, guys.
I can't help
it. I have three TVs that are 1080p.
Can I have one of them?
What? Sorry, Graham, what was that?
Can I have
the other
one?
I heard you say something awesome.
You can use it if you just move here and hang out.
Can I just have it? Can you send it to me?
No. Andrew makes a good point. He should just have it.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
I can't find any fault with that argument.
Well, I gotta keep at least the second one around, because how else am I gonna play full screen PSP games on UMD?
It's true.
That's why you got
a good reason to keep a TV around.
It is.
No, but I do want to upgrade my TV, but for the time being, like,
but yeah, okay. So
these games look great.
Let's talk about these games, though. Andrew, which of these games do you think you want to talk about first? Because you have played lots of these games.
I mean, do we want to talk about the game where you shoot people, the game where you stab people, or the game where you crash your car into people?
Crash car.
Can you not do all of them in one of the games?
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, there's one game where you can do all of the above. So no matter which one you pick, I'm going to say, let's talk about Battlefield 4.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So in this game, you can shoot people, stab people, and crash your car into them.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is the best game of the year.
I think so. That's how math works.
We determined it.
except like that time when the servers were down.
If you have Battlefield 4 on the PS4, you probably notice that the on-game's online is not working that well right now, to say the least. Like,
you can destroy anything in that game, including, you know,
the servers.
You can destroy the entire infrastructure of the world, including the network infrastructure.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing people did. Like,
Graham, that is clever. Did you think of that all by yourself?
Levolution, man.
Yeah, Levolution. Your PS4 will start to melt. It's dynamic.
That's not part of this game. Yeah. Is that happening to your PS4?
Because I might need to go check something out real quick.
For the record, that it was an EA problem, and they said they are going to compensate people for it.
So Just go through this real quick.
Are you having problems with servers? I don't think so.
I mean, that SimCity game launched so flawless.
Yeah, Old Republic versus Great 2. We don't talk about that game anymore. I thought we had a rule.
Sorry, Henry. Sorry. I'm so sorry. No, I'm also sorry. I have played this on PC a bit, mm-hmm. and when I played this on PC, this was around launch. It seemed really well, and my friend, I played it on his PC. He continued to play it throughout the week. This was back in the end of October when the game originally came out. He said it worked for the most part just fine, and you know, apparently after I wrote my review saying the PC version runs fine, at least in my experience, I started hearing about people saying the PC version is kind of broken too. So it seems like, I mean, I don't know much about
the single player broken. Is it campaign? Can you play the campaign?
You can play the campaign until it deletes your save, which I heard about. It didn't happen to me, but I heard that about it too. So, okay. Battlefield 4 is an amazing game. Is an amazing game that you probably shouldn't play right now or buy, but it's really good when you can actually play it. I promise, guys, it's really good. The multiplayer is still fantastic. Like some of my favorite multiplayer in any competitive shooter. It's kind of broken right now, unfortunately. Like, I don't know how the Xbox One version is faring yet. I think it's okay, maybe, but it's only been, as of right now, it's only been out for a couple of days as of this recording.
Endorsement,
Andy. Yeah, maybe it's okay. I don't know.
Can you give a better endorsement to another one of the launch titles?
Do you want to talk about another shooter? We can talk about another shooter. Okay. I played all these games.
Okay.
Let's see what you got. All right. So there's Killzone, Shadowfall. This is another exclusive.
Okay. And, all right. I was trying to avoid talking about Killzone.
Oh, you were? Okay. Well, I'll make it quick. All right, so Killzone's campaign is kind of okay, but it's got some really good moments. The multiplayer feels the same as it was in Killzone 2 and 3, but it's still actually pretty good, so the game's okay.
So just to be clear, can you say what today's date is so people know that we didn't copy and paste that segment from the last time a Killzone game released?
This is Sunday, November 24th, as of we're recording this podcast. Will be up on the 26th.
This is the year 2013. This was not a clip of Andrew saying this about the previous Killzone game.
Yes. It's the same
as every Killzone game.
It's kind of the same.
Man, are there people who are, like, really into Killzone? Is that a thing that exists?
I'm going to say I really liked Killzone 2 and 3. I think 3 was less good than 2 because it's kind of was more of the same, but
yeah.
Shadowfall is not a bad game. It's good. It's a good game. It's a fun game if that is what you're into. If you like Killzone,
it seems at least brighter this time, which I think is nice. Like it looks cool. Like that part does that continue through the whole game, or is that kind of here's the segment everybody wants to advertise, and then it's a quarter or shooter?
No, it's definitely it's a lot brighter. There are those levels that are kind of stuck in small confined areas that aren't fun. But generally, like this, I think that's the big improvement to this game is way more open.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of goes in line with the Battlefield 4 campaign, too, since we're going to just tie these two together. Both games are way more open in their campaigns than the previous games were. So, and I think it works for the most part for the game in the game's benefit. So there's that.
Yeah.
New systems means more open environments in shooters, which to me is A+.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. Killzone.
Do you mean a plus or a plus?
A plus.
A plus.
Yeah. So I mean Killzone's good. I think Killzone's solid. It's not something you're gonna want to rush out and buy a PS4 just for Killzone, but when you get one eventually and it's kinda cheap, it might be worth picking up. Battlefield 4.
When it gets added to the PlayStation Plus library.
Yeah, maybe.
In like a year and a half.
Sure. It's a fine game, and Battlefield 4 is great when it works. So there you go.
Okay, so cool. Next to last, let's move on to racing, because this is your option for racing. I guess you could play Forza, but nah.
If you have an Xbox One, you could play Forza, but
I mean, why would you do that? That's dumb.
I don't know. Some people like the real. Some people like talking.
No. It to me is fine. I just think that games like Forza and Gran Turismo have an appeal that is almost separate from video games in general.
Yeah.
It's like I play Forza or I play, you know, Gran Turismo. Like it's not, it you know. Whereas a normal person who plays video games could play like a Need for Speed game, you know. Yeah, like Forza's like that's different. It's like playing a flight sim, you know.
Yeah, these are people who buy racing wheels, you know.
Yeah,
different people.
I've heard there are those people.
Yeah, they exist.
I have one for the N64.
How was it?
Pretty good. I don't know. It's pretty good for Rush too.
Okay, that's good. All right. Well, yes, Jeff.
It's like on PC, the sort of shadow group of people on Steam who play train sims.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like there's thousands of people on Steam that
there are.
You never see anyone. You never see anyone on your.
And spend like $2,000 on all the DLC.
They do. Yeah.
It's a shadowy group of people.
Man, they should stay shadowy.
Just look at the train DLC will be like top seller this week, and everyone's like, none of my friends list has bought this.
What is this? Probably being top seller because there's no other DLC that's like hundreds of dollars. So they count it as a.
Don't we have someone on staff who really likes those games?
No. So Eric really likes transport management sims.
Oh yes, okay.
Like A-Train and Transport Tycoon and stuff like that.
Got it.
That's different. That's cool.
I love those games too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's separate from the shadowy group.
No. he's not the least shadowy guy.
Mm, yeah.
He's a little shadowy.
A little bit.
Anyway, so Need for Speed Rivals.
Need for Speed Rivals. Man,
our tangents are getting worse.
No, it's great. Let's keep it up.
Okay. So, I've been playing this Neo Geo game you want to talk about? No, Need for Speed.
Neo Geo?
It's pretty good.
Okay. I actually want to talk about the Neo Geo game now, but I guess we'll talk about Need for Speed.
It's up to you.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Game of the Year episode. We'll have nothing else to talk about.
It's not of the year.
Oh.
Okay. Game of the week?
Fine.
Neo Geo game of the year?
Let's just put this in the possible topic for January folder for now. Neo Geo games.
Okay.
We'll do that. Okay, so Need for Speed Rivals. this is the first Need for Speed game I've played since Hot Pursuit, which a lot of people loved. I wasn't as into. I know, Graham, you weren't super hot on either.
I mean, it's just one of those things where I really like Criterion's driving.
Yeah.
Like Burnout Paradise was great.
Burnout Paradise, one of my favorite racing games.
And then, like the head-to-head like score chasing thing just really wasn't for me.
Yeah.
So you didn't play Most Wanted?
No, I never. I skipped Most Wanted.
Because it feels like it's that game was kind of a meshing of the two ideas. Like it still has that score chasing thing, but it feels more like in the Burnout Paradise direction. You should maybe play it.
Okay, maybe I'll go back to it. Right now I'm playing Need for Speed Rivals.
Okay, is it better?
Well, I like it better than Hot Pursuit a lot. It carries a lot of the same like gameplay mechanics as Hot Pursuit. You either play as a racer or a cop.
Yeah.
And I think what Most Wanted introduced was the free roam stuff and the kind of more specifically like in multiplayer how you can just kind of get into the city with a bunch of friends and just do whatever. So this kind of combines that multiplayer with the open city. So basically you're playing, unless you specifically change the settings so you're not connected online, you're basically playing online when you're doing single player stuff. So there are other.
So what you're saying is you're playing Test Drive Unlimited.
You're playing. Yes, this is Test Drive Unlimited 3 secretly made by the guys who made the last two Need for Speed games.
Yep.
So
not the last two Need for Speed games.
Well, yeah. Well, no, the last. Okay, I forgot the run existed. So this is from the team that made the Need for Speed games that everyone likes.
This is Ghost Games though.
Yeah, but they're made up of most like the majority of the Criterion team
Think to be clear, this is more like 343 to Bungie than it is, say Platinum to Clover. Like it's
I'm gonna retract everything I just said.
It's a lot of the team, but the creative leads maybe not so much.
It's okay. So main point, it's really good.
I
haven't played it. The last Need for Speed game I really liked was Hot Pursuit 2 on the PS2 and GameCube.
Okay.
So that's where I stand with the series. I kind of dabbled in a little bit of Underground.
The car customization in Underground, man. You don't need to race anything in that game. Just sit there and make cars all day.
That's basically what I did in that game. I don't think I barely did any racing.
Those are really cool looking cars. So can you make really cool looking cars in this game?
You can customize your car a little, but it's not the same level of Underground, unfortunately.
Man.
I got kind of sick of that style. I feel like they ran that into the ground. Like there was also like juice.
Ran it under the ground.
Oh, man, you're on a roll today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so I think what's cool about the online stuff with Rivals is you can just start a single player event where, for example, you're playing as a cop and you're chasing down these racers before they finish the race. So you have to kind of take them all down. You have to arrest them, and by arrest them, I mean crash their car and probably horribly disfigure them.
Yeah, that's how people normally get arrested. That seems pretty realistic to me.
I mean, you can like actually stop them and keep their car from moving for a certain period of time, and that's arresting them. But you're not going to do that. You just want to you want to basically wreck their car. It's great, but in those events, right, you can be starting that event the same time as someone else who's a racer, and that racer will be a part of the event in the race while you're a cop chasing them down, which is really cool. And if you get a good group of people going and you all like say, hey, let's all, you know, let's have half of us as cops, half of us as racers and do this hot pursuit event. It's a lot of fun. I think the downside of that is there are only 6 racers allowed in the game. So if you're just like playing online without like anyone, like without partying up with anyone, without like you're just playing with randoms, those events where you're actually playing with those people are kind of rare because the world is huge. And when you're just driving around doing stuff and doing your own single player stuff, I didn't often come across them. So I think this is a great start to something that I think with the next couple of Need for Speed games will be kind of expanded upon with like bigger, like more players basically. So I think that's what this needs. More players.
So what you're saying is that it's a launch title.
It is, yes, it is definitely it is a launch title, but it's a lot of fun. Like, as someone who doesn't play a ton of racing games, someone who hasn't really been into Need for Speed specifically that much in the past, let's just say, decade, I think this is a really fun game. And if you have a PS4 and you want to race,
an Xbox One.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, again, if you're not in the Chatterwood group who likes Forza, you know. Need for Speed
if you're
Rivals.
In the Shadow group who likes Forza, you
keep playing Forza.
We aren't listening to us because we're not relevant to your interests.
No, we should have a podcast about these shadowy people.
Okay,
so we can get them.
We need to hire a couple.
Yeah, let's get a couple on board.
Okay,
people who play only like Gran Turismo with racing wheels and then go on to Steam to play those driving games.
Yep.
But yeah, okay. Need for Speed. I like it a lot. I think it's really cool, and I think they have some ideas they need to work on, but, you know, that's what the future of the series will hopefully hold, so.
Cool. All right, so we're running a little long here, so let's wrap it up, but I think I have saved what is probably, maybe your favorite for last. It's a pretty good one.
This is if you get an Xbox One or a PS4, this is probably the best game you could buy on others.
Because it's got pirate ships.
It has pirate ships.
Yar!
Guys.
Sorry.
Guys, you can collect collect sea shanties, and then as you're sailing along, your pirates will like
Can you play them with the C buttons?
No.
Oh,
unfortunately not.
You collect sea shanties.
Yes.
Sorry. And your guys sing them.
Yes, when you actually get on your ship, if you there's a ton of them to collect, and after you get them, you know, a lot.
That's really gonna weigh down your ship.
Yeah, I know. So many shanties.
Maybe you should just carry them digitally.
That's why you upgrade your ship, though.
Okay.
Upgrade for 4 more sea shanties.
Okay.
Yeah, just pour all your money into that. But yeah, as you're sailing, your crew will start singing these sea shanties, and it's awesome. It's like as soon as I first got my ship and then my crew was singing along to some random song, I
that
knew
rhymes.
Yeah. Hey, I could be a musician or something.
That's not how rhyming works.
Oh, okay. I won't be a musician then. Fine, Graham.
That's the other half of it.
Okay. Yeah. But like that alone, like it's like, this is expanding on everything I loved about Assassin's Creed 3, at least the stuff I loved the most, which was
the pirates.
The ship combat. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're actually a pirate and you're gathering your crew and you're upgrading your ship and you're sailing around.
Are you actually a pirate?
Yes, you are a pirate.
You're not a privateer?
No, you are not a privateer. You're definitely a pirate. You you pretend to be a privateer in the very beginning of the game, but then you're out.
Wait, is the song Barrett's Privateers in the game anywhere?
You're a private tender?
What?
Okay.
Jeff, as a Canadian, Jeff should pipe up here and say, yeah, if Barrett's Privateers was in that game, then that would be the best soundtrack ever.
What?
Yeah.
Well, of course.
It's Canadian thing.
I think as we've established, anything you say is a Canadian thing is really just you being crazy.
You guys need to YouTube Barrett's Privateers when this podcast is over. It is an awesome song.
Jeff, we appreciate your insight, but I think at this moment you're most valuable as a person who can refute things Henry says are normal.
Just like the same, I'm not crazy. It's a great sea shanty.
He's not crazy. I have to
agree
with Henry.
What?
Now we have to kick Jeff off the podcast.
Jeff,
too.
Now Jeff we have to kick ourselves
right?
off the podcast.
That is
the national anthem of Halifax.
That's not just a Canadian thing. That's a Halifax thing. So.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, the year was 70.
We have to change the website address to snackbar-games.ca, don't we?
No,
right? Not a bad idea.
That's no. Well, we maybe should own that.
We start typing U's in all of our words.
No.
Well, I've never had problem accessing the site. You guys have never been like, you must be from America to visit this site. So
I think it's time to change that.
Yeah. So we could put in some sort of, if accessed from a Canadian IP, it adds all the U's back into words.
That would be amazing, actually. Let's do it.
I do take them all out. You know, consistency.
Anyway, I'm sorry for hijacking this
no
chat.
it's fine
see,
you can just say piracy, but that's not as much fun.
Well,
don't pirate.
I guess, whatever, we don't get money for this podcast.
Don't pirate it anyway.
That's true.
I mean, if you pirate it, I guess you're just saving us bandwidth costs. That's fine.
Okay.
I mean, you should come to the site, I guess. I don't.
Assassin's Creed 4 is pretty good, guys.
Yeah, sorry. Assassin's Creed 4.
I would recommend.
Sounds great.
I would recommend reading Justin's review if you actually want information about this game, because it's fantastic. It feels like. If you like pirates, if you really like the ship combat in Assassin's Creed 3, you'll love this because it's that in an entire game of that.
If you like pirates and you don't like the ship combat in Assassin's Creed 3, have I got a game for you?
Sid Meier's Pirates.
I guess that would work.
Yes.
Is it worth mentioning anything about the outside of the when you're not a pirate stuff?
I mean, yeah, it plays like Assassin's Creed, and I think they've continued on with the subtle changes and tweaks from AC3. Like, you know, I don't run off of the side of buildings or climb things accidentally as much as I used to in like the earlier games, but it still happens occasionally. I feel like the actual climbing and all that stuff and the combat, all that, you know, is still intact, still great. You know,
Do we want to spoil like the Out of Animus stuff?
Yeah.
Oh man, should we?
Because
it's trippy.
I love that stuff.
Okay, so let me start by saying that I don't want to spoil the end of Assassin's Creed 3, but you are not playing as Desmond anymore. You are playing as a new recruit to Abstergo Entertainment. Abstergo being the big bad company from the original Assassin's Creed and kind of the following games that was chasing down Desmond throughout, you know, the present day stuff. And now they partnered with Ubisoft. I'm not joking. Yeah. They partnered with Ubisoft to work on virtual reality games, and their first was Liberation. You know, for the you know that game, that actual video game that exists. That is in this game a thing that exists too. And now your job as a new Abstergo recruit is to go into the Animus and research Edward Kenway, who's the main character in this. Research his past to make the next game in the series. So
that
you were basically
so cool.
It's very, it's very meta. It's very,
very meta.
Yeah.
I love some of the little touches here. Like when you finish a sequence, asks you to rate it.
Yeah, you can rate them
as if you were beta testing an MMO.
Yeah. So you know you don't have to, but you know when you finish a mission, hey, you 1 out of 5. What do you give it? And you can be as honest as you want. And I don't know what that. It's just a little touch. It doesn't. I don't think it matters to anything. I don't know if it's actually going to like impact Ubisoft's future development on how they handle missions, or is it just like a little thing to say, hey, this is what you would actually do if you were this Abstergo employee. But it's like little things like that. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I kind of assume that Ubisoft is going to aggregate that somehow.
I mean, that'd be cool if they actually did that. But yeah.
I mean, of course, like, you know, it's going to hit Uplay servers. Is this the first game in which the publisher of the game exists in the fictional world of the game?
It might be. I mean, like, there might have been, like, there might be, like, a game where, you know, the publisher is referenced or like, there's, like, a poster for something.
Yeah, I mean, like, Nintendo seems to sponsor all of the sporting events in the Mario world.
That's true.
Yeah, because Deus Ex Human Revolution, there was a poster for a fictional...
Oh, yeah, a Final Fantasy game. Yeah, like, it was, like, Final Fantasy, like, I don't know, some ridiculous and high
27
number.
27 or something.
Yeah.
In Assassin's Creed Liberation, they did, like, Abstergo Entertainment, sort of, the publisher of Assassin's Creed Liberation.
Yeah, so Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation was kind of similar, where you, of course, it wasn't upfront about it, like, as you were playing through, there would be, like, little hints of, oh, she wouldn't have done things like this, and then you go back, and you do things again, and then it kind of, like, you get, like, a message saying, this is what Abstergo Entertainment recommends, and then... It's weird. And also, when you boot up Assassin's Creed 4, like, there's a logo after the Ubisoft logo that's just Abstergo Entertainment. It's
nice touch.
Liberation did that too.
Yeah, they're really into this thing. Like, they're going crazy with it. I don't know. I'm into it. It's great. Keep it going. You know, I don't know where that, like, I don't know how far that like that present day stuff is gonna go. Like, I don't know if there's actually like a more of a story behind it, because I'm still kind of early into the game, but it's really weird, and you can ignore most of it. Like, you rarely come back to the present day stuff. Like, it's only if you want to, or like during very specific story moments where they're like, okay, you can do this and this now, and then now you can just go back to the game.
You know, maybe the next Assassin's Creed game will have you be like working as a like social media consultant for Abstergo Entertainment. With like actual Twitter integration, so that you're literally marketing the game as part of playing the game.
I don't know
where you
how to
fictionally
feel about
market
that.
The game.
That's both terrifying and amazing. I don't know. I don't know if I want that to happen, but I feel like it's the next step.
You know, you get it, and then like it's gonna have like a real world storyline where the first few months your job is to find bugs,
and then there's a patch
that comes out that changes the game from you finding bugs to no longer doing that. That also fixes the bugs.
Well, one of the things that Assassin's Creed 3 even did was when the game was patched, you would get an email in the present day stuff that said, "Oh, the Animus has been patched," and it would tell you like as if you know, as if you were playing as Desmond controlling Connor in that instance. Like, now you know these glitches don't exist. Now you won't run into these problems when you're trying to free run or whatever. And it was written as if like this was an Animus patch and not an actual game patch. So. They've been kind of leading in that direction for a while, but now it's...
Yeah. How about if the next Assassin's Creed game is you playing a person who is playing a game in the Animus? Like, you like simulating the life of a person who goes in the Animus to play the game where you're
Ubisoft Entertainment simulating... announces they are teaming up with Oculus to make the next Assassin's Creed.
Actually, yeah, that might be a thing that happens.
And then we all wake up and realize we've been in Animuses this entire time.
Yeah.
None of this is real. We're beta testing our own lives.
That's
Mine's
deep,
got a
man.
Few bugs.
Yeah. That's deep. I like that.
Yeah. I'm gonna go cry now. Yeah. I'm scared.
It's only so long until they shut down our servers.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Please just save often, Andrew. Save often. It'll be fine.
Okay. All right. yes. Oh no, wait, my life is always online. No,
always call your dad and say
okay. All right, yeah, I'll do that.
On that note, I don't know, or you know, PS4 and Xbox One games.
yeah I'm enjoying my PS4 so far, so it's been
you know,
experience.
You know, as we hit the holidays, stick around the site, we got some good stuff coming. And then, of course, you know, we're getting closer to our Game of the Year celebrations at the end of the year. I'm legitimately interested to see what we end up picking. At this point, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I feel like every year there's, like, those one or two obvious choices. This year, I don't think we have... We might have a couple, but I don't know.
Yeah, there have been years where there's the, okay, clearly that one's winning choice. I don't think this is one of those years.
It's going to be tough. Even we are kept in the dark.
Yeah.
We won't know until you know. Well,
we'll know slightly before that.
I'll pretend to not know until you guys know.
Okay.
I'll play along.
All right. But yeah, so stick around. But for now, see you guys in 2 weeks. For Andrew, Henry, and Jeff, I'm Graham. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.